The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Asian stocks are down across the board today. Concerns over slowing economic growth are weighing on investor sentiment. Tokyo and Sydney are the worst performers, with the Nikkei and ASX 200 both down more than 2%. Here at home, banks are leading the market lower. The Straits Times Index is off more than 1%. That's about 33 points down to 3078. Market turnover is light at less than $550 million. On the broader market, losers are outpacing gainers by a margin of nearly 5-2. Back to that economic data. In the U.S., the latest jobs numbers released Friday night were below expectations. In China, while the trade surplus with the U.S. continues to rise, overall export numbers are down. And in Japan, the economy in the third quarter suffered its biggest contraction in nearly 4 years. All this, plus rising Sino-U.S. tensions, have cast a shadow on the markets. I spoke just a little while ago with OANDA's head of trading, Stephen Innes, and I've got to say, he's not seeing too many bright spots for investors, at least not in the near term.
Well, you know, traders returned from the weekend to face this growing wall of worry. You look at the economic data that's coming out across the globe, U.S., China, Japan, all reporting weaker than expected numbers, and it just playing out so negatively because the markets focus on this synchronized global growth slowdown. If you layer that with the current trade environment, which is quite negative because this U.S.-China trade tensions continue to escalate, things aren't looking very good. So, you know, it's definitely another day, another reason to sell risk, and equity markets remain in a real pain.
Yeah, as you said, it's red across the board today. Here in Singapore, down as well. But I got to say, you know, after being away for a week, the Singapore market is basically where it was when I left. So what's your take on Singapore right now?
Well, you know, there's been give and take here. We've always discussed here that Singapore, because of the strong financial sectors, tends to play fairly well in the overall basket of regional risks since it's such a strong banking center. However, some data that came out last week wasn't all that great, especially around PMI, which is a big focus here for the manufacturing industries. So what it said to me is that production, people looking to make equipment going forward next year, are sort of tentative because of the trade situation. So while certain parts of the economy are doing well, banking for instance, other parts are fading, and this is why the markets are probably very stable from week to week.
If we go back and look at the Asia picture, the worst performers today are Tokyo and Sydney. Why in particular are they performing worse than the rest?
Well, there's some economic data that came out of Japan that's quite negative, referring to their balance of payments. Their trade situation is actually weighing out quite negative. And if you compound that negative GDP settings, it tends to suggest that things aren't going too well. So what we're seeing there is the market melting down in concert with all other markets. But then the yen is rallying on safe haven flows again. So what's happening there, it's compounding the effect because you're getting the stronger yen compounded by weaker domestic equity sentiment. So it's a double whammy negative for Japanese stocks today.
One of the big factors that's been driving market trade are oil prices. So on Friday night, we had OPEC agreeing to cut production by 1.25 million barrels. That's in concert with Russia. But we're not really seeing much of an impact from that today, are we?
No, we're not. You know, we've seen a lot of responses that saying that, well, traders are breathing a sigh of relief, but not really. We're by no means out of the woods yet. We don't know what's happening on a couple of important fronts. One is the U.S.-Iran sanction waivers. We don't know what's going to happen on that. And then more importantly, we haven't heard President Trump's response. Listen, he's not going to be very happy with the fact that they cut production. Saudi Arabia particularly cut production. And I think some comments probably going to filter out during this week are going to be quite destabilizing for oil markets. We've got to remember here that there seems to be a big shift afoot in the oil market. In particular, OPEC used to have such a great influence over oil prices, but we see that shifting more so now that the colossal super producers like Russia, Saudi Arabia, and of course the U.S. seem to be the oil market's main rudders. For one thing here, Russia wants to pump at these levels, the U.S. wants prices lower, and then there's Saudi on the other hand, they want prices higher, but we just know the political clout that comes out of both Russia and the U.S. are probably going to get their way, meaning that Russia is going to continue to pump, political pressure out of the U.S. is going to continue to weigh on sentiment, and ultimately, if this global growth sinkhole continues to ferment, commodity prices and oil prices in general will have a tendency to fall based on that narrative.
So on the supply side, you see the U.S. and Russia outweighing Saudi Arabia here. There are some demand-side factors as well, particularly if we look at China's economy. What are we seeing there?
Well, it's quite interesting looking at China. One thing here, I believe that Asia has an unquestionable demand for oil, and I think it's going to continue to remain strong. However, it's not going to increase, and that's the problem because of this trade war and how negative the implications are for regional growth. That's the issue here. We've got U.S. coming to market as the largest producer in the world right now and also the world's largest exporter. But unless you can supplant that with the demand side of the equation, I think oil prices are going to continue to drift lower in 2019.
All right. So right now we have West Texas crude trading about $52.5 a barrel, Brent a bit shy of 62. Where do you see those numbers going?
Well, that's interesting. When we're suggesting that we're going to see oil prices move lower, we're looking at a mean projection. So in other words, where expectations were coming in for about $70 in 2019 on Brent, those prices are now getting adjusted down to 60. I'm not necessarily suggesting we're going to revisit the 40 level. What I'm suggesting is some of the bullish elements and some of the bullish forecasts in oil are going to start coming back to reality again. So I'm factoring in around 55 to 65 with the sweet spot around 60 for Brent and about a $10 price discount to WTI, which means we should probably trade in and around the 50 to 53 level as a mean average in 2019. And surprisingly enough, that's currently where the markets are. So I think the markets are well priced in on that narrative alone.
Stephen, let's move back to equities and also look at the U.S. now. One of the big factors, one of the big stories affecting the markets has been U.S.-China trade. There seemed to be a bit of joy when there was a, let's call it a ceasefire between the U.S. and China at that G20 summit. And the U.S. said it would not raise tariffs immediately. It would give three more months. But then we had the arrest of Huawei's CFO. To what extent is that overhang now on the markets?
Quite significant. If we take this in the context that the U.S. was already encouraging their allies to stop using Huawei's products, especially their G5 technology product, it's been quite damning for regional technology shares. I have to remember when that announcement came out initially that the U.S. was encouraging allies to stop using the product, at least 100 Chinese tech stocks went limit down. That's close to 10% loss in market capital, and that was quite substantial. So when this news hit midweek, I said, oh, this is trouble. And of course, we saw the market capitulate quite aggressively on that news, because what this does, it tells me that the landscape is shifting, not just from a tit-for-tat tariff war, but we're actually getting into this technology space. Now, given that there's so much manufacturing, so much production involved in technology right now, if we get into a technology war, it could make this tit-for-tat tariff war look like a game of access and allies. I mean, this is quite serious stuff, and we're going to keep a close eye on how this progresses early on in 2019. And certainly, if we have another escalation in tariffs from the U.S., we're going to be keeping an eye on this probably right through the remainder of 2019, possibly into 2020.
That's pretty scary if you say the tech conflict between U.S. and China could dwarf the trade conflict. And we've seen the impact the trade conflict has had on stocks over the past year. Another factor that was influencing, or that you would think that influenced U.S. stocks, is that at the end of the week, U.S. jobs numbers came out. While they weren't as strong as the previous month, some analysts were saying it was pretty much the sweet spot because it showed that the economy was not growing too fast or too slow, and that would seem to be good for interest rates. That being said, we see U.S. stocks falling 2, 3% for the major indices on Friday, futures pointing down as well. Are the markets just shrugging that off?
Markets are looking for the elusive silver lining, so I think everybody's looking for it. And I think the markets will take Santa, for that matter, if he walks through the door right now. But, you know, unfortunately, the Goldilocks theory only holds true if the economy's actually looking good. The problem here is that the Feds came out with some early warning signals suggesting that perhaps in early to mid-2019, the U.S. economy could start struggling because of the tax reform inputs are going to start fading. And this is stuff that the markets looking at. You could see the immediate reaction in the bond markets where bonds rallied. We even went into an inverted yield curve last week, a fear that we could even be hitting into recessionary times, well, further out the curve, at least in 2021, 2022. too. So this was actually real, and this is a problem with the market right now. An interest rate cut is not always a favorable signal to the markets because it tells us something's amiss with the economy. So every time you see a central bank reverse course during a rate hike cycle, you don't always look at that as being favorable. It can have some negative connotations also, and I think these implications are filtering through the markets right now.
All right, Stephen, let's look ahead. If you look into your crystal ball, one, are we going to have a Santa Claus rally in the markets? And two, what is your take going forward for the next year?
No, you know, it's going to get worse going into year end. Any thought of a Santa Claus rally really went out the door. The problem that we're going to face as we head towards the Xmas time is simply liquidity conditions. Okay, there's two things here that we have to be very cognizant in. Markets are going to start paring back risk. That means to me that people aren't going to be taking big risk positions on, so that's going to weigh negatively on overall risk sentiment. And the other compounding thing is that it gets quite expensive to fund positions over year end. So this means to me that markets are also going to pare risk. But again, getting back to liquidity concerns, if liquidity is not there, you can have some very, very whippy outside move, and that's a problem. Going into 2019, you know, we're hoping something breaks. We're hoping something on the trade front actually comes out positive in the sense that perhaps U.S. and China will provide a significant roadmap, at least put something on paper. That would be quite encouraging. But I'm also expecting a sort of a concerted intervention from global central banks in the sense that we're going to probably see interest rates remain lower for longer. We're starting to see that shift on the Feds right now. And I think this could buttress overall risk sentiment. And most certainly, given the weak economic data that's coming out of China, I'm sure the PBOC is going to be flooding the market with cash soon to right the economic ship in China. We look at these trade numbers over the weekend, they're quite damning. On the one hand, we had record trade surplus with the U.S., implying that there's not that significant of a tariff effect, but the overall numbers were really weak. And this suggests if the U.S. start hiking tariffs to 25%, well, Chinese economy is not going to be looking that well. So there has to be central banks coming to the rescue. I think we'll probably see that tendency to come in the markets early in 2019.
So to sum up, you'd probably sit out right now to the end of the year, but look at investing come January?
100%, looking for those undervalued pockets of equity markets, particularly in Asia, given the fact that the Feds are taking on a more dovish tangent. That really tells me that Asian currency markets could be in a better position come early next year. So things aren't all that negative in the overall basket of things.
All right, Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We've been speaking with Stephen Innes. He's the head of trading at Oanda.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.